This is the 9 with Ryan Pinder on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Eric Francis Show is brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Live horse racing is back on Tuesdays and Sundays. Fans aren't in the seats yet, but you can still watch from home and get in on the action. Watch live at hpibet.com.
Ponies are back. Euro underway. The Final Four in the NHL. The Blue Jays mashing balls over the Green Monster. And another Grand Slam victory. Lots going on in the world of sports. It is the Eric Francis Show. My name is Ryan Pinder. There is Eric Francis. Happy Monday. How was your weekend, Francis?
Buddy, I went on an aeroplane. Remember those?
Aeroplane. Aeroplane. Wasn't that a movie in the 70s? What are we talking about here?
I got to tell you, yeah, it was a good one, too. Both of them. You know, it's amazing. A couple of things. You know, I travel a lot, obviously, for work, and I hadn't been to the airport probably in 5 or 6 months. I was amazed at how much stuff they've been doing around the airport, like with the roads and stuff. But also at the airports, like I zipped off to Toronto for the weekend to go up to Muskoka's for a golf weekend with some buddies. And let me tell you, like I took probably a dozen photos of like empty airports, and I'm talking Toronto as well. Like usually these are seas of humanity, and to see them completely empty, it's I don't know, it's creepy, weird, it's surreal, pick your word. It's just not something you normally see. So I know it's going to change, and I think it might change as early as the beginning of the July, but right now it's still an absolute ghost town. Like all the security people are just sitting there chatting with one another, you know, looking for stuff to do. And, you know, I was on a plane on the way home yesterday, 150-seat plane, and if there were 20 people in that plane, I'd be surprised. So
what you're telling us is that people are traveling less during a pandemic.
Yeah.
I agree. I would believe that. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. I think everyone's waiting, ready and waiting, right? So let's go. We'll get rid of that quarantine.
Absolutely.
We'll start moving.
And book your flights, people. They're dirt cheap right now. I'm telling you, now's the time to book.
Busy show today. We'll have some baseball conversation coming up at about 25 after the hour. No Adam Stanley today. He's on a secret mission in our backyard that he can't talk about with video cameras. Kind of offended he hasn't reached out. That's how close he is. So there are your clues. But lots to talk about, including some coaching staff changes for the Calgary Flames and the four teams that comprise the semifinalists of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Let's start with the big news last week. I woke up from my nap to a billion alerts on my phone and notifications. Kirk Muller, associate coach of the Flames, Eric.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure when I would have expected some coaching announcements to be made, but I was a little surprised at the timing of this one. And I guess if you know what you want and you go out and get it really early, then you can make the announcement. I think a couple of things, you know, the importance of having someone who's already been a bench boss before, like an NHL head coach, is something that Daryl Sutter said he very much wanted. He said he was very, you know, he was much more comfortable working with someone who knew what they were, not that the other guys didn't know what they were doing, but someone who knew the job inside out. I guess it begs the debate, the question as to whether or not, so does this mean that he'll probably be the next head coach? I don't know if you can read into that. Does this mean that the groundwork is being laid for Daryl to move up and be the GM if things don't work out this year for this general manager? I don't know. We could sit here and speculate all we want, but at the end of the day, highly qualified, highly respected, both as a coach and as a player. I think Kirk Muller is a really nice add for the team. I like that they promoted Cale MacLean because he's been a good soldier. I think he's a heck of a guy. I know you've had him on a lot to tell us all about the next wave of Flames players, and he's always been very good at that. So I think that's nice, a nice add for him. And then I don't think anyone should be surprised that Ray Edwards is going to go back to player development. That's kind of been his bread and butter. And maybe some people were surprised. Like as I was reading the press release, I was like, God, what? Where's the Marty Gelina mention? And right near the bottom, they say he's going back to player development. I think some people are, you know, everybody loves Marty Gelina. He's got to be one of the most popular Flames of all time for a lot of different reasons. But, you know, his bread and butter has always been player development too. I mean, that's kind of where he really really cut his chops when he was with Nashville doing that role, player development. He's just such a likable, relatable guy. I think players can really benefit from him kind of taking them under his wing and developing them. So I think all of them make sense on a lot of in a lot of different ways. I don't know what the reaction was in Calgary. Was it meh, or was it positive? Or, you know, I don't think people get too stirred up with assistant coaches.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it makes sense that they were going to reshape it, I suppose, but it hadn't been a front burner item. We hadn't been talking about, oh, one of these changes coming on the coaching staff. But yeah, it was a natural for Ray Edwards to go back to the department that he, you know, originated from and was brought in to do. He only came to the bench after the Bill Peters episode where they needed another body there. And Marty's kind of bounced around. He's sort of done the upper management thing. He's done the eye in the sky. He's done some special teams work. So, I mean, for him to continue to bounce around probably shouldn't be surprising to anyone. Cale McLean feels like a natural. He's following in the footsteps of Ryan Huska, who he was an assistant coach for in Stockton just a few years ago. And I guess, yeah, the first thing you think about is what you had mentioned, which is, oh, well, Daryl's got 2 years left. Kirk Muller's a guy that has some tenure around the league, and they clearly have some overlap in the philosophy of how they want to see the game played. Does that make him a candidate or a considerable favorite to be the next Flames coach, understanding that Daryl's what, you know, around 70 years of age, isn't going to coach forever? And is this a contingency plan, or is this just, I need the best person I can find to help on the bench, and that happened to be Kirk Muller? I don't know, but I think, interestingly, he would have been the odds-on favorite to be the next Montreal Canadiens head coach when he and Claude Julien were fired early on in this successful season for the Habs, when they came flying out of the gates and then hit the skids for like 2 weeks.
That's right. So I'm with you. He checks all the boxes for it to be the possible, you know, future head coach, but that's the first thing I thought of too. Well, wait a sec. That was the plan in Montreal, and the baby got thrown out with the bathwater on that one. And if things go sideways here in Calgary this year or next year, who's to believe that they wouldn't do the same sort of thing and totally clear house? I don't know. It's always good to have more experience, though, behind the bench, whatever the ulterior motives may or may not be. You know, I'm looking forward to working with him. He's, you know, he was a beast as a player. And if he can get an ounce of the give a crap, you know, that he used to exhibit on the ice, if he could get more of that out of these players, then it's a great hire right away. That's the way I look at it. He was he led by example, and, you know, and these guys could probably learn to do a little more of that here.
A reminder, it is Eric Francis Mondays, brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Live horse racing is back Tuesdays and Sundays. No fans yet in the seats, but you can still watch from home and get in on the action. You can watch live at HPIBet.com. Ryan Pinder alongside Eric Francis. What do you expect from this associate and head coach combo? It sounds like Muller's going to run the forwards and power play. It'll remain Ryan Huska's department to run the D. Are we starting to get a clearer picture of how this team is going to play, Eric, or no?
I think it's been clear since Daryl Sutter came in how they were going to play. And, you know, I don't they could have hired Claude Julien to be the assistant or the associate coach, and I don't think it would have changed. I mean, this is Sutter's team. There's only one way to play hockey in his mind, and that's Sutter hockey, create an identity. And, you know, that's always been his buzzword. He was very good at creating that in 04 and giving this team an identity for the first time since, like, they won the cup. We've always struggled as commentators to try and put our finger on what the identity of this team was. Even the players had trouble putting their finger on what the identity of the team was. So I do think that, months into this season, it'll be pretty clear what their identity is going to be moving forward. I think it's probably pretty clear after the way they finished the season.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it matters, you know, who the coaches are. I think it's interesting that Cale McLean, he won't be behind the bench. It sounds like he's going to be wearing the headset up yeah. top as the eye in the sky, which is, you know, sure, that's great. Can you see anything changing at all? I mean, Daryl Sutter, if there's anything, you know, more, he's so predictable, right? We know he's going to be snarky to the media. We know he's going to be dismissive of any questioning, you know, his coaching tactics. We know so much about Daryl Sutter in this market. You know, I don't think we're going to see anything new.
Okay, so let's. You talked about it when Sutter arrived. It was a team that we'd asked all year. What's your identity? Like, who are you? What do you stand for? And it was a tough question to answer. It's a whole lot easier to answer after even 2 weeks under Sutter. We saw physicality up. We saw the clamps really tighten. The vice grip spun defensively. The team didn't score as much, but they also. It wasn't like there was a huge drop in scoring chances. It was kind of a bit of bad puck luck there, especially over that, 8-9 game skid. But I think we understand how this team's going to play. The question now is the general manager and his pro scouts have been going through meetings. They've got a draft coming up, an expansion draft, free agency. What kind of tweaks does this roster need to play the type of hockey we expect them to play?
The billion dollar question is, what tweaks they're going to make in general. But when you're talking about filling in the cracks, like, replacing guys like Lebo and Dominic Simone and all the swings and misses you had this year, and you signed them all the league minimum, no big deal. But I'd be pretty stunned if Brett Ritchie isn't back. And, for better or worse, you're going to sign him to the league minimum, you sign him to a one-year deal. This team needs to, before the expansion draft, sign one more player, one more forward, who satisfies the requirements of eligible players to be snapped up by Seattle. Not that anybody they would sign would be snapped up by Seattle, but you have to satisfy the league minimum in that regard. And Brett Ritchie does that. Or you could sign someone like him. But I think all the signings you're going to see this year, big farm boys – who'll go up and down the wing, hitting everything that moves. They maybe have a little, a bit of hands, but not overly. I don't know. And I know you can't just sign all those guys and make up your whole roster. Even Sutter didn't do that back in the day, but you're going to see hit them leaning heavily towards signing several of those guys. You're going to see some 6'4" guys with credentials capable of causing disruption and being physical. So, that's kind of just how I see the cracks being filled. No more of these tiny little Dominic Simones who are going to be, little jitterbugs and skilled guys. Sure, you got to have a couple of them, but not as many as you had in the last couple of years. That's how I see them filling the hole. And the bigger question, we've been addressing that forever. I have no clue on how they're going to affect significant change. We've all got our theories on how and what, but that's going to be fascinating.
You're, of course, alluding to a core player and a big swap there. That's correct.
Yeah, some sort. Like, pick your poison. But I think that you see enough smoke coming from other cities that makes me think that there are going to be able to be some significant moves made around the league where we talked about this last week, but, teams that are trying to affect change, unsure how to do it, kind of tied up against the budget, don't have a lot of maneuverability. Maybe their players that they're trying to move they're down in value, and they just look at each other and go, "Look, you trade that problem for this problem, and let's see if we can affect some change that way." No different than the James Neal Milan Lucic trade.
So last thought here before we jump to break, and I'm with you. I think the fans are clamoring. The GM probably is eager to, and I don't think the coach would mind some sort of a shift to the core. There just hasn't been enough winning. The culture's not right, it feels like. And you've also got, I think, some needs that are changing and some guys that have positionally moved around. I wouldn't be surprised at all if you have a core part heading out, trying to shuffle the deck a little bit. As for Brett Ritchie, I do like his name being brought up. You noted they got to meet to the requirements of having another player exposed at the forward position. $700,000 came to Calgary on a PTO. It was very on brand that when the coaching change was made, it was easy to say this is a guy that probably will excel under Sutter, and it wasn't wrong. He played some pretty darn good hockey for a guy that arrived on a PTO at league minimum. What does another deal look like for Brett Ritchie? Can you get him to come back for league minimum on a one-year deal?
Oh, my God, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, he did a good job, for what he was paid to do. And so I don't think there's any question you could still get him to come back at $700,000. And I think, it'd be a no-brainer for him because he finally has a coach who believes in him and his style of play and his body type and all that. It's a perfect marriage between those two. I'd be quite surprised if Brett Ritchie wasn't a Flame again next year. I mean, do you see him? Is there another team that saw enough of him that said, wow, we got to have that guy? I mean, no, right? Not for the league minimum and not for what he was able to do here. I liked him as a player. He's serviceable. I don't want to say anything negative about him. I'm just saying he is what he is. He's a fourth-line mucker, and he satisfies all the kind of things that Daryl Sutter wants in his players.
9:23, we'll come back with more of the Eric Francis Show. A reminder, all our broadcasts do come to you live from the Iconic Studios in downtown Calgary, powered by Iconic Electric and Controls. They are the official Sportsnet 960 The Fan studio sponsor, proud to give back in the communities we all work and live in. Electrical construction, it's Iconic. Contact them today at iconicec.ca. It's Eric Francis Show on a Monday. We're coming back with a special guest, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Back to the 9 with Ryan Pinder. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Eric Francis Show is brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Live horse racing is back on Tuesdays and Sundays. Fans aren't in the seats yet, but you can still watch from home and get in on the action. Watch live at hpibet.com.
Welcome back to the Eric Francis Show. My name is Ryan Pinder. Eric on the phone line, special guest on the way. Reminder, we've got game one tonight between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Montreal Canadiens, 7 o'clock. T-Mobile, going to be jumping. An unlikely Final Four candidate or participant in the Habs, and very much the opposite for the Vegas Golden Knights, who are in their fourth year, third time into the Final Four of the NHL. Eric, we got a special guest, and it is summer. It is gorgeous weather. That means we got some baseball coming up locally soon, right?
Exactly. And there's something really exciting happening out in central Alberta where I spend most of my summers. Out at Sylvan Lake, there is a rather large stadium, given the size of Sylvan Lake, that has been built for baseball. And everybody's dying to see what they're going to fill in there. We've known for some time it's going to be the Sylvan Lake Gulls of the Western Canadian Baseball League. And so I wanted to bring on Akil Samuel. He's the GM of the Sylvan Lake Gulls, to tell us a little bit more about it, because I think this is such a great, well, it's a great product. It's a great showcase for good young Canadian baseball players who are generally playing down in the U.S. But tell us more about it. It's Akil Samuel. Thanks for joining us, Akil.
Hey, thanks for having me, Eric. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, you too. Now, first of all, I guess we'll tell people a little bit more about the league itself and what it's all about. But, I think a lot of listeners know about what's been going on in Okotoks for some time. They've got something real special going on there with that wonderful stadium and great support. But tell me about the Sylvan Lake Gulls. How did that come about? I mean, we were shocked in Sylvan Lake to see semi-pro baseball coming to our little town.
Right. No, it's actually an interesting story. The owners of this team are Graham and Jennifer Schetzel. They're cattle ranchers out in Vetrin, Alberta. And we all went to high school together in Consort many moons ago. So I got a call from Graham a few years ago saying he's bought a franchise and wants to put the stadium into Sylvan Lake. And, he felt that Central Alberta was right for this market, right? It was an underserved market. And everybody from Central Alberta drives to Edmonton to watch prospects or drives down to Okotoks to watch the Dogs. So, he's a... we're all baseball people, and he wanted to put something into Central Alberta. And then, we went and visited a few municipalities, and Sylvan Lake just seemed like a great fit for us. So, here we are kind of 5 days away from opening day and frantically trying to put it together.
Now, the stadium is not quite ready. I don't think I'm putting words in your mouth. But obviously it'll be in some semblance of ready by the time opening day hits Friday. Now, tickets, I guess the first question, tell us a little bit more about the stadium, because I think people would be interested to hear the size of it, especially since it's kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that's right. So we built it out in, a quarter section west of town there in a lonely farmer's field. But that's that whole Pogattle Park quarter section there is getting developed by the town of Sylvan Lake. There's going to be, four slow-pitch diamonds and RV parking and soccer and football, all the town's recreational activities, summer recreational activities are moving up there. And we just basically took over the 18U diamond, and we're building a stadium on top of it. So, we're going to have 882 bucket seats in phase one. I hope you've seen the pictures and stuff. We have a two-story building on top behind home plate. It's that's going to house 10 luxury boxes and a media room on the top story. And then we have, you know, we're going to run our merchandise and concessions and beer stands and everything on the concourse. So, you know, for Friday, we're not going to be able to get into the building. So we're, you know, temporarily running everything off tables on the concourse and temporary generators and all the rest of that stuff. So, you know, it's going to be good. We get, we're only allowed 30% of fans in there. So I believe we're 300 tickets that we're allowed to have in there. So we've launched those yesterday and sold out in a matter of minutes. And now we're ready to go.
It's okay. And the launch went okay, because I know, again, all my neighbors, some of them already have the hats, the Sylvan Lake Gulls hats. And they were at, so the way you're doing your tickets is 5 days ahead of the games, because of this strange COVID shortened season. You're only playing 20 games this year. Is that correct, at home?
That's right. 20 home games. And then folks can go onto the website, sylvanlakegulls.com, 5 days before every home game at noon. And, you know, they'll be able to purchase their tickets there. So, like I said, we launched the home opener one yesterday, and it got a little frantic there, but, you know, it through. And the Saturday game will go on sale today at noon. So,
now, tell me, and this is always the million-dollar question when someone starts, you know, takes a bit of a chance and starts something like this up. How has it been received? Because the numbers you were telling me about for season ticket holders for next year really surprised me.
Yeah, no, it's been great. Like I said, we really recognize it as an underserved market, and you know, worked really hard over this past year and a half to, you know, promote the team and get the buzz going, and, you know, get people excited and interested about it. And, you know, the community has just been unbelievable. Like, you know, it's the support has been great. I keep telling people, like, if I got to run to the grocery store to pick something up or Canadian Tire to pick something up, I don't wear any Gulls gear because somebody wants to talk baseball. And, you know, I got to run in and out. So, you know, that part's been great. The, you know, before we did this modified season, we launched season tickets last November and kind of did 25% of them out there, and those sold in a couple of days. Of course, we've had to refund some of that and push those people into 2022. You know, Central Alberta is ready for something like this. And you can tell by the feedback on social media and the interaction with the fans, and, you know, everybody's talking about it, and you've seen the swag around town and things like that. Right. So now that it looks like we're finally coming back to some semblance of real life here, you know, people need to get outside. They need to, you know, be with their neighbors and do something like this. So it's going to be, we're actually a bit of a fever pitch right now for demand and things like that. We can only see that growing. So, you know, we got to be able to get to this phase three and get full house in there as soon as possible. We're excited about that.
We're talking to Akil Samuel. He's the GM of the Sylvan Lake Gulls of the Western Canadian Baseball League. This year it'll be a 5-team loop. You're playing a modified schedule. I mean, everything's kind of on hold because of COVID, but at least you're going to get some semblance of a season in. Your players, did they arrive? Have they arrived already?
Yeah. We've got, we kind of had our first practice with 12 guys yesterday. So, you know, all this work, it was just great to see guys, you know, in our swag, warming up and doing that. So we've got 12 guys in town. They're going to start trickling in this week right up to the home opener. We've got a few guys. Yeah, it's been complicated, right? They're all in the States, so they're all Canadian guys, but they've been all playing in the States. So, you know, we came back and we kind of made them quarantine at home before they come to us. So, you know, as their quarantine's in, they're going to trickle into town. And, you know, with the stadium construction, we'll get our first practice at the stadium on Thursday, and we play on Friday. So it's just going to be so exciting to see actual baseball going on. You know, it's all this work in the back end is, you know, it's been great. We've been ticking off the boxes, but it's time to watch a baseball game now, right? So, guys are excited. We got our media day on Thursday, and we'll have our first practice, and we're going to go from there.
Excellent. Now, tell me, you know, I think, again, people in this city who are older like me have fond memories of the AAA baseball here. Didn't quite work out. This is equivalent, they say, to single A ball. Do I have that right?
Yeah. You know, this, and, you know, a lot of your listeners, I'm sure, have seen games in Okotoks and seen the level of baseball. You know, we're really excited to show that level of baseball to Sylvan Lake and to Central Alberta. But these are, you know, these are pretty ambitious kids, right? They're trying to get to the next level. And, you know, if you look at the alumni in the league and, you know, how many have made it to the bigs and how many have made it to pro ball, it's a really launching pad for some of these guys, right? So it's, you know, to be able to have a stadium that we have in our league right now, and we're hoping to add to that, obviously, and some of that cachet, we're going to get a lot more exposure, and we're only going to grow those numbers. So, you know, we really hope that we can open some eyes at the level of baseball here in town and for Central Albertans.
And speaking of growing it, you mentioned 882 bucket seats, but mm-hmm. are you also going to have a family area where people can sit along the first and third baseline on the berms or whatever? And
yeah.
I know you also mentioned some luxury boxes. You could really up that capacity, couldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we're going to have the berms ready to go in a week or two here. And we've also got, you know, you talked about family. We did something unique out there. We put a netted off structure in the pictures. It's the one with the peaked roof down the third base line. And it's it's a netted off structure, and it's the same artificial turf that we have on the infield. And we're going to have a kid zone at the stadium, right, where mom and dad can drop off their kids. We'll put a little bouncy castle in there and let the kids run around. And, you know, kids sitting for nine innings isn't the easiest thing sometimes, right? So, you know, we'll mm-hmm. let them run around. Mom and dad can sit and continue to watch the game, and, you know, we'll take care of the kids down in the kid zone. So we'll have that. The 10 luxury boxes aren't going to be ready for this year, but for next year, that, you know, they have, and they're all actually already accounted for. Haven't even put a price on them yet, but you know, there's 10 bucket seats up on the deck for those things. And then we want to get to phase two as quick as possible. So for phase two, we're going to get up to 3,000 fans. We're going to run bleachers from the backs of the dugouts going up. And, you know, we'll get to 3,000, just north of 3,000 fans as soon as we can here, right? So we one step at a time. But, you know, once we get to phase two and get to that level of fans, you know, get that really stadium minor league experience. And, you know, you guys have witnessed it down in Okotoks. And, you know, we want to be in that same category.
Now, again, we're talking to Akil Samuel. He's the GM of the Sylvan Lake Gulls, the Western Canadian Baseball League. They kick off their inaugural season on Friday. And they're frantically piecing together the stadium and their team in time to get this modified season up and going. You mentioned, alumni or people who've gone through this league, because this league's been around, I believe, since the 30s in modified mm-hmm. forms. Mm-hmm. Tell me about some of the alumni or some of the names that people like Pinder and, you know, the real baseball purists would know.
Yeah, so, you know, we were just talking about this guy last night, you know, and Marco Gonzalez, I think he was the opening day starter for the Seattle Mariners. He played in Saskatoon. Actually, our coach, Jason Chatwood, you know, played with him in Saskatoon. They're both a couple of Gonzaga guys. You know, so we've got Gonzalez. We got the Sobrowski kid from Eric Sobrowski from Edmonton that I believe he just pitched for Double-A Pittsburgh Pirates just the other night. And, you know, the amount of players that I got that far, you know, Kittredge with the Tampa, he's in the Tampa Bay Devil Rays bullpen right now. I think he's got a couple saves this year. And, you know, folks down in Okotoks will remember that name, right? So, you know, these guys, we're really starting to turn heads in this league. And you know, it's people all over North America knowing about us. And, you know, as we continue to grow, that those numbers are going to keep going up. So, you know, it's kind of fun to watch. As a kid, you know, we'd always watch minor league guys in Edmonton and Calgary and kind of follow their path to the show. And, you know, we think we're going to be a jumping off point for that as well.
Okay. And finally, before we let you go, just tell me a little bit about your background. And, you know, obviously your friends wanted you because they figured you knew what you were doing. You've got an extensive history in the league and in and around Canadian baseball. Just tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, we grew up playing small-town baseball back home, Consort area and stuff like that. And it kind of grew into, you know, Graham and I actually played in this league in the early and mid-90s. There was a team called the Orion Pronghorns. It was called the Saskatchewan Major Baseball League at that time. So, you know, I played my grade 12 year there against all these college guys and had a chance to play at the Prairie Baseball Academy down in Lethbridge on their first ever teams and played down in the States as well and Wisconsin. And, you know, Graham played down in Oregon, ended up at Portland State in the Pac-10. And We got some baseball background here, and then I've had a bit of a business background as well, and you know, couple that with all the coaching that I've done, did a couple of Canada Cup teams for Team Alberta in 2007, 2008, and 2009, and it's just interesting taking this next step into a general manager type position, and the evolution. It's just the game's kind of, it's in me type thing, right? So it's this evolution into general manager has been great, and you know, we're plugging away here. So it's just continue the baseball journey for myself. It's been great. It's been really good.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, Akil, good luck. I will see you down at the stadium as early as Friday.
Yeah.
I'm excited, as are most of the people in Sylvan Lake and in surrounding areas. So thanks for joining us, sharing the story, and best of luck as the season progresses.
Thanks, Eric. Looking forward to see you in Sylvan Lake and at the stadium. And, go Gulls.
Go Gulls. Go Gulls. All right. That was Akil Samuel. He's the GM of the Sylvan Lake Gulls. SylvanLakeGulls.com. If anybody wants to go on, buy some merch or try to get some tickets. It's not easy right now, but as the summer rolls on and we get to better stages, as you said, there'll be upwards of 3,000 people at these games, which I think is fantastic for a little tiny town like Sylvan Lake to host something like that. Is going to be exciting. All right, back with more of the Eric Francis Show for Horse Racing Alberta on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, we are back. It is 9:48. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Reminder, we got game one between the Habs and Knights, 7 o'clock right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Also Sportsnet West and CBC as we get the second semifinal underway. It was the Islanders beating the Lightning last night. Sure, that'll be a topic of conversation with Rintoul and Sermon in mere minutes. But right now, sneaky attacking us in our very own backyard, Adam Stanley joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. How could you do this to us, Adam? You don't even let us know you're coming. You're being shacked up in five-star hotels and wined and dined. We thought we could help you out. Apparently, you don't need our help. How are you?
Turns out I got it covered myself. No, I'm doing great. I don't know who dialed up this nice weather out here in Kananaskis, but it is amazing.
Man, oh man. So I don't know how much is top secret and how much is not, but what are you doing out here?
So I'm shooting a golf and travel content series. It's going to be launched a little bit later in the year. One of the episodes is out here, Canmore, Kananaskis. So I haven't played any golf. I've just been taking swings at some of the finest layouts that this country, I think, has to offer. So I went to Banff a couple days ago, Silvertip, Stewart Creek, and I was at the K last evening. And it's amazing. I need to come back and actually play these golf courses now that I've seen them. But kudos to you and the whole area because, oh my gosh, everything's awesome here.
How many years have I been telling you to get your butt out here and we'll play these things? And now you finally do come out and you're not going to play. Adam, what are you doing?
I know. Like, I know. I mean, I'm here for the on-camera swings, a couple of putts, a lot of lost balls donated into the various forestry along the sides of all these golf holes. But the sun off the mountains and the peaks and oh my gosh, it's truly stunning. So I can't wait for everybody to see the episode a little bit later this year.
I'm telling you, it's COVID. All these flights have cancellation policies. Push it back a week and play. Let's go.
Yes, I'm still in town. I'm at the Kananaskis Mountain Lodge right now.
That's not a bad little spot either. Are you playing? Tell me you're playing. Tell me you're going to play but on your way out. Even if you're just hitting Mickelson on your way out of town or something.
we might make a cheeky stop into Mickelson National on the drive into Calgary, but that remains to be seen just on the timeline side of things. But we've got a lot of stuff. There's no shortage of beautiful shots that we've gotten already.
So what would you tell someone from Ottawa or Toronto or out east about just the views you've had, never mind to play these courses? Because I don't think you can explain Mountain to Golf to people that haven't played it.
No, I don't think you can, because it truly is unlike anything else that we have in the country. I mean, out east, we've got Cabot and it's ocean golf. Even out in Victoria, Vancouver, it's ocean golf with a little bit of mountains. You know, back in Toronto and Ottawa, we've got, the golf courses like St. George's and golf courses, like Cherry Hill and golf courses like Ottawa Hunt and Golf Club that are hosting, these big events. But out here, you guys have, and the interesting thing about all these mountain golf courses is that you kind of thought, well, it's just going to be golf with mountains. And once you've seen one, you've seen them all. But no, it's really not like that. Once you play Silvertip, then you play Stewart Creek, then you play the K, then you play Banff. Each one has different golf plus mountains, and I think that's what makes things so special.
There is something about watching your ball rise into a mountain that is absolutely impossible to duplicate. You know, when you hit a nice shot and you see it rise into that side of that hill, it is something. I just had the good fortune on the weekend. I was out at Muskoka's, played Deerhurst, the Highlands there.
Oh, nice.
And you've got beautiful courses all throughout Ontario. Rattlesnake Point I played the other day. And anyway, I'm glad that you're coming out here and spreading the gospel of the West, because you're right. I played Cabot. I played in Victoria. I played all over this country. And not to say what's better than anything else, but mountain golf is that much more unique than so many other possibilities. You know, am I wrong? I mean, it's just so much different than the other opportunities you might have.
No, that to me, I would agree wholeheartedly. I don't think that, you know, some people may be mountain golfers and some people might be ocean golfers and et cetera, but the beauty of Canada and its golfing options is that we have all of that. And wink, wink, nudge, nudge, that's kind of what the entire series is all about. So I'm excited to launch that a little bit later this year. And I've been really, really fortunate to come out here the last couple of days with some amazing weather, see some amazing golf courses, not play them. But I'm eager to come back and put a tee in the ground for sure.
All right, well, let's move to the golf universe. It's a major week. If we aren't bragging up the mountain courses, we would have got to the U.S. Open sooner. Torrey Pines, what do you make of the course, the field, and the tournament?
Yeah, so Torrey Pines, obviously, a golf course that everyone's familiar with, certainly viewers and the PGA Tour golfers themselves, because they play it once a year already at the Farmers Insurance Open in January. I talked to Mackenzie Hughes and Corey Connors last week, and they both said, you know what, this year in January, a couple things were happening. You know, on one hole in 17, Mackenzie Hughes told me that there's usually about a 12 to 15 yard strip of rough on the left side of the fairway. They've eliminated that rough, and now it's just fairway and then cliff. So you're long dead. So they've tightened it up a little bit in that regard. It's going to play over 7,600 yards. It's going to be long. It's going to be tight. The rough's going to be up. The greens are going to be ripping quick. There isn't much of a similarity in terms of how this golf course plays as compared to January. It's just going to be one of those classic USGA, US Open setups.
So we're going to be whining about golf courses looking too hard, or we're going to be loving watching professionals shoot four over and be happy. It's one of those dichotomies of golf fans, isn't it?
It's going to be one or the other this week for sure. It's either going to be like, this is boring, or you know what? Golf pros, they're just like us.
Yeah, they are. Sure.
Yeah. Hey, before we let you go, we need your picks. This made me a lot of money last time.
Oh, no.
Before the major.
No pressure.
I got to put you on the spot and give us, you know, like your podcast always has some medium picks, some long shots. And give us a couple long shots and a couple favorites that we should have in our pools.
Okay, so I think from a long shot perspective, I actually do like Taylor Pendrith a lot. I know he's Canadian, but his game is perfect for Torrey Pines. He hits it a long way. He hits it straight. His short game is immaculate. And he's playing with nothing to lose this week because he's not a member of the PGA Tour. He's on the Korn Ferry Tour, but he's locked up PGA Tour status for next year. He was medalist at his qualifier. So from a long shot standpoint, I like Taylor Pendrith a lot. Medium picks, you know, I kind of like hate to say this, but I like Patrick Reed a lot this week. He won the Farmers Insurance Open earlier this year, probably one of the best short games on tour. He hits it far enough and, of course, has already won a major. So I do like Patrick Reed this week. But honestly, I like the Bryson defense or the Rory McIlroy overpowering effort this week is probably my favorite two guys. You know, Bryson showed that no matter how long it is, no matter how long the rough is, at a U.S. Open, his strategy for just attacking a U.S. Open golf course, it worked last year. I don't think that it's not going to work this year. And Rory's kind of got the same makeup as well. So Rory and Bryson from that top category of guys, I like them this week.
Well, Adam, I'd like to say goodbye and have a good week, but I'm still sour at you arriving unannounced and sneaking a TV show behind our back. But more importantly, less about us, that you've come all this way and seen some of the jewels of the Canadian Rocky Mountains and only, like, swung a club for a camera and not played the course. Feel shame and be better next week.
I will be better next week, and I'll be better the next time that I'm here. I can't wait to tee it up with you guys.
Okay, thanks, man. We'll see you later.
All right, thanks, fellas.
There's our Canadian golf insider, Adam Stanley, joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Make it a great night. Choose your pizza and wings, pasta and seafood, steak and ribs. Order now through DoorDash or dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive, Northeast, Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Well, Eric, I don't know. Are we just not nice guys? Are we jerks? Is Stanley got his... is he too good for us? Is this a classic Eastern Canadian looking down upon us? Dirty prairie men? What's happening here?
No, it's a classic case of a human being who's got his priorities out of whack. I mean, yeah, yes. I know we all have to make a living, and I'm sure this series that he's producing is going to be great. And hey, good for us and our tourism. But come on, a man's got to golf. You can't. It's like putting a steak dinner in front of someone and saying, "Nah, you're going to have cornflakes instead." Like it's not right. It's not right.
It's not right.
It's hurtful. Purple.
I don't like it. Hey, enjoy this next week of summer. I believe we got you for a few more weeks at least. What, middle of July, it looks like the Francis Show will roll too. That's right. So we'll come back and be better next week.
All right, bro. Talk to you
later.
Thanks,
man. See you later. Eric Francis Show for Horse Racing Alberta right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.